Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder. So let's kick it off with what we thought about the way this game started. The Bengals never trailed in this game. They came out ready to play. That whole the Bengals can't start fast on offense notion has seemed to disappear here in the last month. They get out to a lead. Joe Burrow and the offense looks dialed in. He's targeting Ja'Marr Chase early on. And then the play that really kind of made this game seem early on like it was going to be very much in the Bengals' favor was when Trey Hendrickson had his strip sack on Derek Carr that Larry Ogunjobi recovered. The Bengals were only able to get a field goal out of it, but it put them up 10-0, and that really jolted this team. They had a much better first half than they did second half, but when you look at plays that stood out to you in the first half, what did you think?
Yeah, there were two in particular. The first was that Trey Hendrickson strip sack you mentioned. This was, I think, the Bengals, except for maybe the first game in Baltimore, just like the best blitzing game I've seen them have, just based on the schemes and the new surprise elements with Mike Hilton and Jesse Bates and Von Bell coming with surprising timing. I believe that strip sack fumble. Bates came up the left side, which led to Hendrickson pinned against a tight end. Easily, he won that matchup and got the strip sack. That's a win for Hendrickson, but it's also a huge win for Lou Anarumo, scheming up that play to put Hendrickson in that position. And then the other great first half moment was kind of the scheme wins the Bengals had on offense, specifically how it's an offense that when you see Chase against a bad cornerback, he got Desmond Trufant pinned up or matched up against him a ton. The Bengals picked that apart, and they set that tone early that was a matchup they were just going to win at, not even close. There was a big brother sense to that matchup, and overall both were a win for the star players and also the scheme.
So staying on the first half, what's interesting when you look at the stats, the final stats, the Raiders actually outgained the Bengals in this game. It was 385 total net yards by Las Vegas compared to 308 by the Bengals. Rushing yards, the Raiders outrushed the Bengals, and passing yards, the Raiders had 282 passing yards versus the Bengals 225 yards. And when I'm looking at this, is the first time I'm actually looking at it all together. That's interesting, and it really shows that this game came down to turnovers and the Bengals' ability to kind of control the clock and control moments. But that's interesting. When I read those things to you, does anything stand out in particular, Charlie?
I guess this is where you can tie back to the importance of the turnover battle. The Bengals got that huge Trey Hendrickson strip sack that I mentioned, which set up 3 points for them, and Joe Burrow didn't throw an interception. When you look at the slow starts that they'd had, look at the LA and the San Francisco game in particular, it was turnovers, and now Joe Burrow has gone another game without an interception. And overall, when you do that, you can overcome a lot of things.
I believe the last game he's had multiple interceptions, I looked it up this week, was the Chargers game. So you're right. He has been great at protecting the football. And in the postseason, that is what matters probably most above anything, is protecting the football. Another stat that I want to talk about that really stood out is how the Bengals played in the red zone on offense and then how they played on the red zone on defense. So let's talk about the Bengals red zone defense. They held the Raiders to 1 of 5. The Raiders just looked completely out of whack in the red zone. Credit to the Bengals defense for bowing up, as Sam Hubbard said. But were you surprised at kind of the Raiders game plan when they got into the red area? Or did you think basically the Bengals defense made them have to shift out of what they wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, look at who the Raiders' best two players on offense are, Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. Waller, I saw double-teamed a lot in the red zone in particular. And Hunter Renfrow, he didn't make a huge impact on this game. That's two games in a row now where Mike Hilton might be like the best Hunter Renfrow defender in the league. And I haven't watched enough Hunter Renfrow tape to confirm and know that's true, but it certainly feels like it. They're about the same size. Hilton's speed and his recovery time is so great for Renfrow's change of direction and his unpredictable route running structure. Hilton controlled that matchup. And when you take those two guys away, you have Derek Carr throwing the ball to Zay Jones in clutch situations. And Zay Jones isn't a number one receiver, and you're going to be winning those matchups in the red zone.
Yeah, looking at the stats, Darren Waller was targeted 12 times, caught 7 passes for 76 yards. Zay Jones, 8 targets, 5 catches for 61. Then Hunter Renfrow finishing it out with 8 catches on 11 targets. So Carr was trying to target him. But like you said, I thought Mike Hilton played probably his best game as a Bengal. And I was kind of waiting to see that type of performance from Hilton because he was one of their big free agent signings this offseason. And you've seen it at times, him make really good plays. But I thought today was his best game of the season. And I also thought it was Jesse Bates' best performance. He made a couple plays in the second half that could have ended up being game-changing plays. What did you think of Jesse's performance tonight, Charlie?
I genuinely believe that you are who you are in the biggest moments. And ultimately, it's stuff like this that makes up for the dropped interception against San Francisco and the deep pass he allowed for a touchdown against Los Angeles. Bates played like a Pro Bowl safety today. And frankly, that's what matters. It's that extra 10% in the postseason against talented competition. Bates delivered completely, was one of the most valuable players on the field, and was exactly the guy the Bengals kind of built their whole scheme around.
Yeah, he led the team, looking at the stats right now, he led the team in pass deflections. He had 3. Mike Hilton had 2. So that kind of backs up what we were saying about those two having really big games. And being able to lean on your veterans in the postseason is what matters. And for the Bengals to be able to lean on Jesse Bates and Mike Hilton when their best player on defense, Trey Hendrickson, they lost him for the game. Trey Hendrickson was not able to return in this game as he had a concussion. He got ruled out and didn't come back after he made that pretty big play early on in the game. The Bengals finished with 3 sacks, 1 with Sam Hubbard. He made a big play today, and BJ Hill, and obviously Hendrickson. So that's where the 3 sacks came from. So now let's switch. This is a good segue to the offense, because we talked so much about how would the Bengals be able to protect Burrow, and that being really the key against Crosby and Ngakoue. The Bengals only allowed 2 sacks on Burrow, which I think deserves a segment in its own for all that we've talked about, how this is the weakness of this Bengals team. Did they surprise you in the way that they, A, gamed plan to give Isaiah Prince help, and B, Charlie, were you surprised at the overall performance by this group tonight?
That's kind of the first thing I want to go back and watch, is how much help Isaiah Prince was given. But they started the game with 2 empty set calls. They weren't empty a ton more than I expected. I wrote down 3 great Isaiah Prince blocks. Listen, he was the last guy to make the team coming out of training camp. He was a 2019 waiver claim who opted out in 2020 due to COVID, who came back in 2021, a guy that no one really knew anything about from a media perspective, and kind of just played his way. First, he beat out Fred Johnson, then he beat out Deontay Smith, and then when Riley Reiff got hurt, he became the starting right tackle and just played the best game I've seen. A win for player personnel evaluation, for sure, because to come up, and for obviously Frank Pollock as well, for the scouting and development to get to the situation now, we're in the playoffs. That's the position where you could have lost this whole game. For that to have been a net neutral or maybe even an advantage, that's a huge development.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because it could have been the easy out for the Bengals, right? They don't have their starting right tackle. They're going up against pass rushing unit after, you know, basically giving up 51 sacks on Burrow. Like, that could have been how this story ended for the Bengals, considering that's pretty much how it started the season, with the questions about, is Burrow going to be protected at the level he should be? The Bengals didn't allow that to be a narrative. And to be completely honest, they have really tightened up front in the last couple of weeks. And that's huge for them going up against some of these teams that they could potentially face. But before we talk about that, let's talk about what happened with the Bengals in the second half and why maybe they had some issues in the red zone. I know you will go back and watch the film and probably have a much more clear picture on what happens, but when you see that the Bengals went 2 of 5 for 40% in the red zone, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I remember 2 of the plays right now. There was the play where Trey Hopkins forgot to snap the ball. Haven't seen that happen all season. Yeah. And there was the 3rd and short run on the other side on that big 4th quarter, 7-minute drive they had, where Mixon's run on 3rd and short just didn't make it. And then they opted for the field goal to make it a 2-score game on 4th down. I guess the other reason that they weren't able to score in the red zone, I guess that would have been in the 1st quarter. But overall, I thought it was notable that's what Joe Burrow is most frustrated about. That I like, we'll see how far the Bengals go, but that's like the Super Bowl mindset kind of that Burrow has set. The fact that one of the first things he mentioned in his post-game press conference was their inconsistency in the red zone.
Yeah, and for those who were able to check out Burrow's press conference and were maybe surprised at kind of his personality, that is Joe Burrow all the time. He doesn't ride the emotional roller coaster where you would expect him to come in and be overly excited. Today, he very much said, look, I'm happy for the state. I'm happy for the city. I'm glad to get that win, but we're not going to dwell on it, and we're going to be focused on the next game. And he specifically brought up he didn't really like the way that they played in the second half. Ja'Marr Chase also brought that up. So let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase's impact on this game. Another 100 receiving yards. I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't need, I mean, how many 100 receiving yard games has Ja'Marr Chase had? And it's just interesting to watch. Even in the playoffs, you're going to get the team's best shot. But nobody, he had that little lull, but even when they try and take him away with cloud coverage, I mean, at one point, the Raiders had three players on his side, and he was still able to not only make a catch, but to do something with it after, which he's been so good at his yards after catch this season.
What's fascinating to me, too, is just watching him grow in real time. I remember against the Ravens. The Ravens played zone defense on one play in the red zone. And basically what Chase did is he made a turning catch kind of at the two where he just got his feet in bounds. And after that catch, he said that was the style of play he has worked really hard to make. And today, I think most of his biggest plays of the game were literally on the sideline in tight coverage where he turned his body the exact same way to get his feet in bounds. I mean, that's just seeing in real time and improving in real time and learning in real time and adding more and more weapons into your toolbox to be even better and better against different types of coverages.
Yeah, and to put in a perspective just how monster Ja'Marr Chase's game was, he finished with 116 receiving yards. The next closest was CJ Uzama with 64. A quiet day for Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, but it doesn't really matter because they got the win and they were able to execute their game plan, which was Ja'Marr Chase. And that's the biggest problem that the Bengals pose is, right? Like next week, if someone tries to completely take Ja'Marr Chase away, he's got Boyd and Higgins at his disposal. And he just continues to find different, this is Joe Burrow I'm talking about, find different ways to win the game. Okay, when you think about, obviously, the Bengals don't know, by the time this podcast is probably out, don't know when it's going to be out on Sunday. The Bengals don't know at this point when Charlie and I are recording who they're going to be playing. It's looking like it's going to be the Tennessee Titans in the divisional round, which would mean the Bengals would hit the road to take on the Titans. But if the Steelers are somehow able to pull the upset over the Kansas City Chiefs, that would change things, and the Bengals would be facing the Chiefs, considering the Buffalo Bills don't look like they are going to give up their monster lead over the Patriots. I know we will get into more of the X's and O's and in-depth matchup, but what do you like about the Bengals' odds versus the Titans, and what scares you most about the matchup with the Titans?
Yeah, I have to get an update on who's healthy, but I know the Titans have a great receiving threat, have an all-pro tackle, a defensive tackle in the middle, and as good of a safety duo as you'll see in the NFL. What that shows is upside in the passing game and one-on-one matchups when you can target those on the outside. That shows the ability to be consistent against the run, and that shows if they go up with a cover two look, that shows the potential for fewer explosive plays down the field without selling out to stop those plays as much as the Raiders did with their cover three scheme. The Titans can still do more over the middle and at the line of scrimmage with the pass rush with just the two safeties they have. Vrabel's my coach of the year because I don't know how they did it with such an injured roster and an offense that hasn't been at average efficiency this season. And I look forward to learning more about them this week if that's the matchup.
Yeah, it'll be fun to dig into that because obviously they could be getting Derrick Henry back, which changes the game. And the Bengals didn't play all that great against Jacobs tonight. I think there's an area for improvement, but for the most part, they've been very good against the run. But Derrick Henry's a whole different ball game. As you said, their receivers are loaded. Tannehill's kind of the wild card. Which is crazy to think, you'd probably give Burrow the nod over Tannehill, right? Even though Tannehill is more experienced at this point, if you're looking at just the way quarterbacks have played this season.
Yes, I would take the all-pro candidate.
Well, it will be fun no matter who the Bengals are going to face to kind of dig in and find out more to give you guys the best updates and coverage you could want on the Bengals as they continue to make this postseason run. As always, Charlie and I will be back throughout the week with stories on Cincinnati.com all week to get you ready for the Bengals divisional round, including another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast in which we will get more in depth on the matchup. Thanks for tuning in.